Firstly from Jake, who's reading from Titus chapter 2, and then from Skye, who's reading Psalm 73 for us.
My Bible reading today is from Titus 2:11-15. Please read along with me. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you.
Psalm 73, verses 1 to 28. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?" This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell all your deeds.
Well, friends, it is a privilege to be able to open up God's Word with all of you and celebrate More College Sunday in your churches. Of course, I would love to be there with you in person, but I am thankful for the technology which does allow us to meet, even if in this online format. Today, we're going to have a look at one of the Psalms, and when we do, we are looking at the responses of King David and others, which are here in the Bible, as models of how a person who trusts in God responds to God, and especially responds to God as they respond to the ups and downs of the happenings of life. You see, from the Psalms in general, we learn wisdom for life. From the Psalms, we learn about the good and right response of praising God. And we also learn how to exercise godly complaint. The Psalms often have this line that's sort of littered throughout. How long, O Lord? Why is this happening? And in all of these, what we learn is that we can continue to bring the good and the bad, the tears of joy and the tears of sorrow. We can bring all of these things to our Heavenly Father. And as we do that, we actually exercise a posture of continually trusting in Him. We grow in our knowledge of Him, and we grow in our confidence of Him. And in Psalm 73 today, for the next few moments, we are going to come to a vitally important psalm for us as Christians. And it's so important because this psalm focuses in on a common experience of what it is like to trust in Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to persevere with Jesus, to follow Jesus in this life. And actually, whether you've been a Christian for 20 minutes or 20 years, this common experience really is common amongst all of us. And this is really important for us because it indicates just how universal these psalms are. No matter whether you are a man or woman following God and trusting in His promises 3,000 years ago, or whether you are a follower of Jesus today, God's word really does speak to each and every one of us, into the reality, into the messiness, into the complications of our real lives. These psalms really are very, very relevant. And the experience begins with every single Christian person knowing this one fundamental truth, that God is good. And that really is a non-negotiable, isn't it? That God is good. It's a certainty. If anyone doesn't believe that God is good, then how can you possibly trust Him? Trust Him with your lives. Trust Him with all the things that come at you every day. And how could you know that He is trustworthy if you don't trust Him? How could you know that He would keep His promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David? Keep His promises all throughout history as He has interacted with His people. But it's even more than just knowing that God is good, isn't it? Actually, we need to know that God is good, but then we also, every single Christian person, all of us, need to know that God is good towards us. See, it's not just that God is good, it's that God is good to us. We need that. That God is not just good, but that He is good to me is really important. And I mean, there are a whole bunch of ways to know that this is the case, but actually in Scripture, one of the ways to know about this is to look at the New Testament and look at what God says about love. See, if you really want to know, not just if God is good, but that He is good towards us, we only need to look at some of the most famous passages about love, as they show us just how good God is and just how good God is towards us. Things like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Or Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates His love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Or 1 John 4, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You see? God is good, and He is so, so good to us. And this is important because this is how Psalm 73 begins. Verse 1, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart." Now, the writer of this psalm, Asaph, is most likely a musician in Israel, and we are talking well before Jesus came to earth, tabernacled among us. But he does begin the psalm with a statement that he knows that God is good. And Asaph knows that God is good because of history. By looking at the way God has interacted with His people throughout history. By knowing that God is the loving creator of the world. By knowing that God's promises to Abraham to be a blessing to him and his offspring. And through his offspring to be a blessing to the nations. By knowing all the events after that, the great salvation story of taking the people out of slavery in Egypt and taking them into the promised land, the big Exodus story. See, all of these great moments in history are because God is good and is good to us in being faithful to His promises. His promises that He made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. The promises that he made through the prophets. So Psalm 73 begins with the foundation of every Christian that God is good and that He is good towards me. However, does your experience of life confirm or contradict what you know to be absolutely true about God? Is your experience the same or different to what you know about God as you walk through life now, through its difficulties and through its messiness? You see, the fact is that very often there are things around us that make us think and sometimes even say that maybe God isn't always that good. Maybe, just maybe, if I'm being really honest, maybe God isn't always that good. My life is difficult. Things are messy. Relationships are broken. There is pain and hurt. And Psalm 73 wants to explore that for us, even if just by focusing on a particular problem. And here is the problem of Psalm 73. Our experience very often shows us that unbelievers seem to get along very well in life without God. And it's a real problem, and Psalm 73 wants us to experience and wrestle with this very real problem. You see, it's a real problem if we are being true and honest to ourselves, because this is a problem that we face on a daily basis. And see, the principle of Psalm 73 is true, and in fact the Bible in general teaches this, that the Bible is not a positive self-help book. The Bible is real. It deals with realities of life. It deals with messiness of human experience. It doesn't run away from the fact that sometimes life is just really hard and painful and frustrating and messy, and it's not that great. It's not very fair or right, or it doesn't seem very just. And you see, this is the reflection of the psalmist. Look at it, verse 2 to verse 12. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens, and they're not plagued by human life. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff, they speak with malice, with arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. You see, the psalmist, he really does hit the nail on the head a little bit with some of what we would consider to be the injustices that are there for us as Christians. You would think that you could be so bold as to assume that living God's way within the world that God made, that would make a difference. You would think that, wouldn't you? You would think that living God's way and trusting God and obeying God would make a big difference in life, but actually, those who reject God are doing really well in life. That's what Asaph is talking about here. Those getting ahead in their careers are people who sometimes have no regard for God whatsoever. Those who find life a breeze, have money, are healthy, have no burdens, have sexual gratification, live life to the fullest. Why is it that those who live the type of lifestyle that we may reject, because it does not honor Jesus and does not adorn the gospel, why is it that those people seem to have all the good things? Well, you and I, we struggle. And sometimes we feel just a little bit miserable. Now, to put this in context, Asaph in his reflection here is not saying that everyone who is ungodly lives a great life and everyone who is godly lives a horrible, miserable life. But it's just the question of, isn't this true sometimes of our experience? Just sometimes. And so we have this question that keeps lingering. How can it be that God is good, and not just good, but good to us? We want to be with Him. We want to follow Him. We want to honor Him. And yet our experience is not positive. And I think the psalmist here is saying, be honest. Doesn't your experience push you to the same conclusion as Asaph comes to? change the words a little bit, and this is what sometimes it feels like. Verse 13 and 14, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. This is a big deal. It's a big deal because these types of conclusions are come to by many people. Many people who seem to be walking away from Christ. Many people who have turned their backs on God because they see the state of the world and they see all the great things that those who reject God supposedly have. And they see the injustices that continue to remain. And they question the very fundamental things about God. How can God be good and these things be happening? How is that a thing? They question whether God is really good. They question whether God really is good to us. And they say, then why even bother? Why bother living God's way? Why bother adorning the gospel of Christ? Now, friends, I know I'm repeating this sort of over and over again because I think it will do us good. In fact, it is of great advantage to be able to point out that this really is our experience. This really is what it feels like. And it's important because that is how we wrestle with the realities of this life. We can't pretend that things are good. The answer is not to just smile and be happy. But Psalm 73 goes beyond just articulating the problem for our experience. You see, it actually also teaches us that the voice of our experience is objectively wrong. The voice of our experience is a voice of deception. You see, Psalm 73 is helping us to see that we ought not to just look to our left and to our right, but we ought to look directly towards the Lord Jesus, towards the promises of God and how they find their fulfillment. Psalm 73 is helping us to see that although these feelings are real and we experience them and they are the worst, that there is a fundamental truth about God that is objectively real and true. What God says in the Bible is more important than what we may experience right now in this world that is broken and that is sinful. Here it is, verse 15. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. See, Asaph is saying that if he drew the conclusion of verses 2 to 12, that in fact maybe God isn't good, then he would have been wrong. Even though that is really what it truly feels like, it would have been wrong. And verse 16, it was so difficult, so oppressive, so outside of what he knew about God, that it shook him to his core. It troubled his insides. Verse 16, when I tried to understand this, it troubled me deeply. I just didn't get it. I didn't know how it was possible. Until, verse 17, until he entered the sanctuary of God. And then he understood the final destiny of those who do not follow the Lord. Do you see the truth here? The truth is that our experiences can be hard and can be confusing until we enter the sanctuary of God. That is, until we see things from God's point of view. From God's perspective, things look very different. You see, in the Old Testament, the sanctuary was a place within the temple. And you came to the temple to hear God speak, to hear the scriptures being read. Nowadays, it's hearing the word of God in the Bible. And as you came into the temple and into God's presence and heard what he had to say, you started to see things from his perspective. It was like you started to wear God-shaped spectacles. And everything that was difficult and a problem, it didn't just go away, and it wasn't just covering it up. But what it did do was, it gave you perspective to see things clearly. How much this was a problem that things are difficult now. What it looked like in terms of these difficult things and what would happen as things moved forward. You see, when we see God's perspective and we see the things of certainty that are coming in our future, of the destiny of these types of people, then we get to understand what's going on. In fact, the Psalms as a whole, all 150 of them, they start in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 with this kicking off of these two types of ways to live. Like the righteous or like the wicked. And this is what Psalm 73 is exploring a little bit. That it matters a lot what's going to happen in the future for those that walk with the righteous and those that walk with the wicked. See what is said about those who don't trust in God, first of all, verse 18 to 20. Surely you place them on slippery ground, you cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors? They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Do you see the judgment that's coming? God is angry with those that continue to reject him. How utterly foolish to presume that living well for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years can be as good, if not better, than being right with God, being in a relationship with the one who created us, the one who gives us our life, the one who sustains us. What a ghastly thought to think that it is better to live in a way that gives pleasure now than to be right with God for all of eternity. To think that someone being ahead in their career, owning their own home, being more popular, enjoying themselves with more holidays and more lavish things and more bodily pleasure is more important than a sustained and healthy relationship with the God who created the universe is unbelievably foolish. When I see those who do not trust in God doing better than me, it is foolish for me to think that this is really a problem. Verse 21 and 22, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. This is not small language here, the big and impressive language Asaph uses. When I thought like that, actually I was like a brute animal, like a stupid beast, and yet see with clarity what looks like from God's sanctuary. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Do you see the contrast? The way of the wicked leads to destruction. The way of the righteous, as they hear God in his sanctuary, that is the way that leads to the conclusion that God is the strength of their heart and their portion forever. You see how different the experience of Asaph was at the beginning from how his experience ended up. You see the significance, the difference it makes, seeing things from God's perspective, seeing things from the perspective of Jesus. It's very different. You don't just look to the right and look to the left, but you look to God. And you see where things are headed, and you have certainty, you have assurance, you know it for a fact. To the voices of our experience that doubt the goodness of God and the goodness of God to us because of the success of the wicked, these voices are not true. They are objectively nonsense. They are lies. Whatever suffering you face, whatever troubles you, does it really compare to a relationship with the great God of the universe who created the heavens and the earth? Does it really compare with the great God of the universe who is able to safely bring you into relationship with him and safely be in relationship with you for all of eternity? And so here is Asaph's conclusion. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell all of your deeds. You see, this is so very significant for us as New Testament believers, as believers who have come to see the Lord Jesus in his life and death and resurrection and ascension. And the reason is that Asaph, when he walked in the sanctuary, saw the future of what God was doing. He heard of what God had promised was going to happen. And it gave him perspective. And if that was true for Asaph, how much more is it true for us? Us who have seen how God's promises come to fulfillment. Us who know in the death and resurrection of Jesus that the kingdom of God has been inaugurated. It's here. Us who have trusted in Jesus and therefore know with assurance of where we are going because of the imperishable inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. You see, we are people who haven't just heard God's promises. We are people who have seen God's promises, who have seen the glory of the Lord, who have seen the perfect image of the invisible God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen his death that cleanses us. We have seen his resurrection and ascension to be seated as king on the right hand of God the Father. And so it is confirmed for us. We see Jesus as the promised king that God had spoken of. And as the Apostle Paul says in Titus chapter 2, we now have perspective that allows us to get through the suffering and difficulty of this life. Hear it from Paul, Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11. For the grace of God, that's Jesus, has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. You see this beautiful picture that Paul is painting to Titus? Here is what it's looked like. Here's how we live lives now. We keep walking, focusing on Jesus, and we look back and we remember that his death and resurrection means that we have nothing to fear. We look back at his death and resurrection and know that he is the king and that he is the one who can bring us to relationship with God. And we look forward and we know that because we have trusted him, that he is going to come back and we are going to be with him forever. And as we look back and as we look forward, we have everything we need to continue to walk in this life, despite the difficulties, despite what it looks like, despite the apparent injustices. Because in the end, God will do all that he has said, and he will, in fact, be completely just in all things. We understand, as the Apostle Paul then says in 2 Corinthians 4, we do not lose heart, therefore. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary afflictions are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So my friends, if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus and you are struggling and trying to persevere as you see the successes of the wicked, keep trusting in the Lord. Keep coming into his sanctuary. Keep hearing from God's word, the Bible, and keep knowing and having it confirmed for you that God really is so very good, and he is so, so very good to you. And if you do not know the Lord, then can I commend to you the Bible? Come to his sanctuary, read the Bible, see things from his perspective, hear what God has to say about himself, about you, and about his plan to bring you back into relationship, into fellowship with him. It is an amazing thing to see things from God's perspective, to understand where all of human history is going. It is good, and it shows us that he is good. He's trustworthy. He's worth following. By trusting in the Lord Jesus, you have the benefit of not just knowing what is coming, but having assurance that you will be secure until the end. And that, my friends, is definitely worth knowing. Let me pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the certainty that we can have and the confidence that we can have as we read your word. Father, we know that things can be difficult in this world that is broken, but we are so very thankful to you that all your promises find their amen in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, so that we would know our future and that we would have confidence of where we are going. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ben. That was such a helpful talk, and what a wonderful psalm that reminds us that God is good to us, despite what our experiences of life might tell us sometimes. God is good, and we know that for certain when we look to the Lord Jesus, who has come into this world to demonstrate God's love for us and to rescue us. And Ben spoke to us this morning about whether or not we've recognized that great truth. And if you've just listened to that talk and you're now considering whether or not to follow Jesus and you'd like to do more investigation about him, then we'd love to help you as a church, and you can get in touch with us via the office, either at office@stjohns.org.au or by visiting the website and getting in touch with us via our contact form there. We'd love to encourage you to keep investigating Jesus. Well, we've come to the end of our